buy ice milk.
Yes, you can. True love is sweetness incomparable. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the instant illumination. True love is sweetness incomparable. We're going to be going down to Nigeria and to Ghana in West Africa in the next couple of weeks. And when we were there before, we noticed on the back of cars and buses and everything, bumper stickers. It showed an outline of a young lady and an outline of a young man sitting back to back with the slogan underneath, "True love can wait." Now, here true love is sweetness incomparable. What is true love? True love is loving first yourself. And when you love yourself, then you have everything going for yourself. And when you don't love yourself, then you don't. Now, Rex loves himself there, and he's barking, and he's bringing toys back and forth for everybody to play with because he wants to play. And we were feeding him before the table, giving him table scraps, you know, the plate that had the cake on it and the plate that had the this and that on it, and he enjoyed that thoroughly. And then he felt that this is all part... Well, there was a plate on the floor in front of you, too, wasn't there? Yeah. So he enjoyed all these parts, and so he thought playtime should continue. And so we stopped playing with him, and he says, "Hey, you guys forgot about me. I'm the life of the party. I'm over here ready to play now." And he barked a little bit, and then he brings me his toy, and then he puts it in my hand, and then he wants me to play with him with it. And true love is sweetness incomparable. Now, do I love Rex? Is that a true love? Well, that's not anything to do with physical love or sexual love. Yeah, that's true. But it has to do with unconditional love. It has to do with loving him just the way he is and just the magical boy that he is. He is the greatest napkin snatcher that you could ever want to meet. And he loves to snatch anything that he can because he thinks that this is going to start playing games for him. And he thinks that games are just the most fun in the world. And we should understand true love is sweetness incomparable. What do we mean by incomparable, incomparable? We mean it is unconditional. True love is sweetness unconditional. Now, if we were to take a man and a woman, if we were taking dear friends or whatever, and they have a dear love for each other, it is not sexual love. Sexual love is something that comes and goes and is an experience you have like eating, you know. You do it now and then, and you don't do it all the time, because surely if you did it all the time, you would burn out on it, and it wouldn't be that much fun anymore. If you had to sit at the table and eat 24 hours a day, every day for a week, you'd soon get very tired of eating, and you would have a whole different attitude about your diet. You would probably eat only what was necessary to survive, and you'd probably have the most beautiful body that the world has ever seen, and you'd probably have the most beautiful attitude and everything else. Hey, that's not a bad idea, is it? There is the true diet, you know? Stuff, and it would eat everything you can 24 hours of the day for 1 week. And at the end of that week, you're tired of eating. And so then you will just eat modestly if you eat at all, which you will eat, but you'll eat modestly. Now, I don't know the psychology of that. I rather doubt that it would function very well, primarily because we are never honest with ourselves. We do not eat ourselves into distraction. Who's going to sit there and watch you eat 24 hours a day to make sure that you eat and gorge yourself and gorge yourself and gorge yourself and gorge yourself? Papa, what does he do? When his son is of age that he wants to try a cigar, Papa gets him a nice cigar, a good brand, not a cheapie, gets a good brand cigar, shows him, "We just paid $2 for this cigar. Now here you are. Dad, you mean I can smoke it?" You go right ahead. But you have to agree to smoke it all the way down till it's maybe about an inch or two long, you know, maybe three. But it's got to go down that far. Are you willing to do it? Oh, yes. And so he smokes that cigar. And he turns all shades of red and blue and brown and pink and purple. And he smokes it because he has an agreement with his dad. And when he is down to the last bit of the cigar that has to smoke, he doesn't say anything to anybody. But he goes outside usually and barfs. And then he pledges himself, cigars aren't worth it. I don't ever want to see another cigar in my life. I'm happy not to smoke cigars, you know. And actually, if a parent would do that with their kids with cigarettes, too. If, of course, this is not the days when we grew up in cigarettes, when cigarettes were perfectly acceptable by virtually everybody. But if your kid is taking to cigarettes, say, I will allow you to smoke cigarettes if you will smoke one carton of cigarettes in chain smoking fashion, however long it takes, 24 hours a day, and at the end of that carton of cigarettes, if you want to smoke, you got it, you know? Well, now, what's going to happen to that kid? That kid's going to be burned out long before the carton's over, and he's going to say, never, 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 you know? And why is he going to say never? Because his parents gave him true love. It's a sweetness that's incomparable. The true love allowed him to do anything he wanted to do, but with a certain, not restriction, but with a certain condition. Because if he would follow that condition, he would find that it's an unconditional true love that is being expressed. Now, the same goes for beer and wine and whiskey. These things are all the same way. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that people can have this at their fingertips, this simple solution to a problem, and they don't do it. Now, there are other solutions, of course. The solution that you decide that you don't want to smoke, but it's got to be a real decision. It can't just be a wishful decision, because a wishful decision has no solution to it. And, you know, I always think back on the Masters of the Far East by Barrett Spalding. And in there, Jesus is walking with the masters, and the brigadoons or brigades or the braggarts or whoever they are chasing them, wanting to hurt them or take them or whatever. And Jesus is up in front with the masters, and the master says, what are we going to do? And then Jesus stretches out his hand like Moses, you know, and makes a wall of love. And that only those who have love in their heart can penetrate that wall. And everyone else is rebuffed. They cannot come through. Well, in the interpretation that Barrett Spalding wrote in his book on that, he had these horses running into the wall and injuring their passengers and hurting their rider to such a degree that they were bloody and really beat up. And then Jesus and Emil's mother and everyone had to go over and nurse these bandits who were trying to chase them and trying to hurt them. Now, I kind of think that if Jesus, as we know Jesus, were to be confronted with a situation like that, which he could not be confronted with, he could not. You see, no one knew that Jesus was Jesus. He had to be shown to the centurions by a kiss. And without the kiss, they wouldn't have known that that was Jesus. And so, you see, he's invisible 90% of the time. The only percent of the time that he was visible was when he was doing his lecturing, when he was out among the people. The rest of the time, he was with his disciples and living in his invisibility. No one knew where he lived. They didn't know what house he lived in, if any house. They didn't know what barn he lived in, what upper room he lived in. They didn't know where he lived. Had no idea. Because he was invisible. Now, So, for him to have bandits chasing him is very, very unlikely. And for the masters to have bandits chasing them is absolutely out of character. So we have to be very careful of the stories that we tell. We have to be very careful, because if we are not careful, true love is sweetness incomparable, we're going to start talking about something that is not consistent with true love, not consistent with a sweetness, and not consistent with it being incomparable. Now you say, well, what has that got to do with Barrett Spaulding and Jesus and so forth? Well, just this. What is your character? Is your character one that smokes? Is your character one that drinks? Is your character one that has poor attitudes and poor habits? Is your character one that can find meanness in other people? Is your character one that can find meanness in yourself? Is your character one that finds unhappiness in the world, unhappiness in your own world, unhappiness in the world you created? If that's your character, then that's who you are. And you can never change it. You can never change from the character of, let's say, evil to the character of good. You cannot change from the character of evil to the character of good. Now, Ellen, this is why most treatments do not function. You cannot change from the character of evil to the character of good.
Because you are.
You cannot say, I am an alcoholic, and be one who does not drink. You cannot do that.
No.
It does not function. You will always be an alcoholic in your heart. You will always be an alcoholic in your body. Mm-hmm. You will always be afraid of what alcohol can do to you. And alcohol still possesses you. It still owns you. It still controls you. So you see, when we say true love is sweetness incomparable, we're talking about the pure heart. The pure heart. If you are pure in heart, you have no desire to do anything that is contrary to your nature. Now, Ellen was looking at me askant when I said this, and I said that you cannot change. You cannot change from evil to good, and you cannot change from good to evil. You either are or you are not. And if you are doing evil things, then you are evil eternally. Now, how could a person who is doing evil move into non-evil? How could a person who is doing non-sweet things move into the area of doing sweet things? Very simple. If you love yourself, you will do all those things harmonious with your nature. If you hate yourself, you'll do all those things inharmonious with your nature. So, therefore, if you have the feeling of anxiety toward yourself and your world, then there is nothing that's going to save you ever. If you have love for yourself and your world, you will be a loving, wonderful person, and the evil will have never been. It will have never been. The unhappiness will have never been. Do you have the capacity to live in a world of happiness where there has never been evil?
Yes. I am.
If you look at anything in this world and think that it needs to be changed or corrected, you am not. If you look at anything in this world that is contrary to what you call your highest and your best, then you cannot change. It is only when you see the world through the divinity within you that the divinity within you can see the world in you. It's kind of a roundabout idea, but that's what it's all about. True love is sweetness beyond comparison. True love is sweetness incomparable. Now, what is true love? True love is the pure love that loves just yourself, no one else. It loves just yourself. And people say, oh, that's selfish. No, it isn't. If you love just yourself and you are a good person, what are you going to see? Everybody in your world, lovely and a good person. You're going to see everything in your world, lovely and a wonderful person. You're going to see everything in your world exactly the way you like it. And you will see everything in your world exactly 15 minutes. So, you see, that's just the way it goes. True love is sweetness incomparable. Evil is eternally evil. Goodness is eternally good. Which one are you? And if you ever dare to say even a little bit of one or the other, that's it. I mean, if I say a little bit of good, I'm good. That's right. Because you cannot be a little
pregnant.
It doesn't work that way, does it?
No. Think
about it. It doesn't work that way. So, think about it.
Okay.
Think about it and think that you've got to decide who you are. Now, Douglas, are you God? Are you perfect? Are you fantastic? Are you glorious? Are you wonderful? Are you the most fantastic person on the face of the earth?
Yes.
You see, there's no problem there.
No.
And Sylvia, was God smiling when God created you?
I was smiling, yeah.
Yes, I was smiling.
Yes, I was smiling.
There you go. Now, isn't that,
yeah,
better than, trying to say, yeah, but do we?
Yeah.
Yes, I was smiling, you see. And Ellen, why is it that there are so many evil things in your world?
What are you talking about? In my world, everything is beautiful, perfect, wonderful, divine, illumined.
Ellen, start the sentence over again.
In my world, everything is beautiful, divine, illumined, in divine order.
Now, why did you say, what are you talking about?
Right.
Why are you recognizing that anyone could even say something contrary to the truth? And Ellen,
yes,
when you're answering it, like Sylvia said, yes, I smiled. And when you answer it, you say,
I see everything beautiful, wonderful, divine, illumined.
That's nice, but all is in divine order in my world.
Right.
Yeah. So, everything is divine and beautiful and illumined, and that's all good stuff too, but keep it simple. Keep it simple. And when you keep it simple, you get great results. And Ingeborg, what about you? How fantastic are you? Are you the cat's meow?
Yes, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. And is it a good meow?
Yeah.
Is it a well-fed meow?
Yes.
Is it a well-loved meow?
Yes.
Okay. Not bad, huh?
No.
Not bad. So think on these things and have fun, because that's what life is all about.
Yay.
Have a lovely afternoon and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.